Hi guys, it's your host Matilda,
Deeza,
and Imama,
and you're listening to the Ami Boy Interludes. Hello everyone. Hello, hello, hello. How you guys doing? It's been a while. We actually haven't recorded in a very long time, in a longer time than we've actually dropped an episode. So this is a moment.
A reunion.
It's a reunion. Exactly. How are you guys?
So I don't know why that was
why
funny.
Why are you laughing?
I don't know.
Funny.
I have no idea. Like, I genuinely have no idea why I'm laughing. Oh, sorry. Never mind. Go ahead. I'll say it after. I'll say it before we start. Just proceed.
Yeah, but it's hard to proceed with that. I don't even know where to start from. Do you understand?
Okay, you know what? Rewind to first place.
I was first actually minute. Already asking how you guys were doing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so wow. As I said, I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Okay. Yeah, good. Okay. Well, I'm doing good. I mean, since we recorded, I went to Punta Cana.
Ooh, fun.
Ooh. That was really fun. I got out of the cold, so that was really fun. But then since I got back, it's just been work and cold. And daylight savings, and yeah, like we're back to this again, so not much for me, to be honest.
Bam.
Deeza,
I mean, not much to report on. It's been all right. We thank God for life.
I'm screaming.
How about you, mama?
I've been pretty good. I think I've been really busy. I don't think I've sat down at home for long, which is a bit stressful. I don't know. I like traveling out of the country, but I've been traveling inside the country, which has been like a lot. And I'm actually realizing, so it's funny because one of my friends is saying how one of her friends leaves the country every month.
Every month?
Yeah, every single month. And she was saying, like how she wouldn't mind that.
Wait, why?
Because she travels.
Oh, for vacation.
Yeah, for vacation. Yeah, every month.
What does she do?
She's a fashion designer. She has money.
Okay, now.
Yeah, so she's in fashion.
I actually feel like it makes sense.
I mean, so to be very honest, right, I think like before I'll say since September, I really have not been, I think I spent one weekend or two weekends max in my house since September.
Wow.
And when she said it, like, I feel like before I'd have been like, oh yeah, I would love to leave the country every month too. But I think just not being able to just sit down in one place and be in my house and just be. I was like, yeah, you know what? Maybe I don't mind leaving the country maybe once every 2-3 months. Because I look, if you like, the traveling has started to be like a lot and quite stressful. But yeah,
It disrupts your schedule.
It really does.
I think for me, that's what it is. Initially too, I like traveling. I don't know about every month, but now I realize like anytime I travel, it actually disrupts my schedule. I try to be consistent at the gym, just figure out, you know, what my daily schedule is, and it disrupts that. But
yeah, I agree, it definitely disrupts my schedule. Like, it just also makes me feel like I can't just sit and like watch a show. Like, there's just so many things that I'm like, I love traveling, but I think this is, it's seeming like a once every 2-3 months type thing. But yeah, other than that, oh yeah, and guys, I graduated. And yeah, I graduated.
Congratulations.
So that happened. Yay. Thank you. Honestly, I've been done for it like since February at this point, but there's just been like other lingering things that will come up here and there, here and there, here and there. And yeah, so I finally graduated. I also got to present my research to like a room of experts and smart people in my field.
Oh, in Vancouver.
I went to this conference. It was honestly really, really inspiring, and it made me want to do so much more. Like, I know I'm like, you know, a very introspective, maybe, I don't know. Like every 2 seconds I'm like, oh my gosh, life, so much you can do. But honestly, yeah, there's really so much you can do in life, guys. And
there is.
And I think there's time, but there's also not time, because it's like, guys, I feel like there's, I want to do so many things. Like, I want to do so many things as pertains to like research and exciting like sciencey and like medical stuff, which requires so much brain power. And then I feel like there's also like creative things I want to do as well, which may not require as much brain power, but does require like significant time. And I'm just like, bro, I feel like when I finish doing the sciencey stuff, my brain will be tired and I want to take a nap. Then I want to have time to do the creative stuff because that one now requires time. So I don't know. It's just, it's okay. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, but they say you can have everything, but perhaps not at the same time.
Yeah.
So maybe you just have to see your life in like seasons. I know this is very like church speak. But yeah, in seasons, like right now I'm going to focus on this and then in the future I can now think about other things.
Yeah, like, I think that might be it, to be honest. That might be what I have to do. But anyways, life is exciting. Life is beautiful. Life is busy right now. And I think that this year has been so great and so many lessons learned. And I'm excited for next year. I don't know how I got there, but anyways, here I am.
Oh, I really like your positive predisposition because I'm actually not in that much of a positive predisposition.
Really? Why?
Yeah. That's a seasonal kiniko that you said. Oh, okay. It actually gets dark so early nowadays. Mm-hmm. It gets dark at like 4:34. And like you go into work and when you start, it's still kind of gloomy outside. And then when work is done, it's like dark outside as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That really affects my mood. I don't know if anyone else is feeling that. So if you guys live in...
I mean, it affects a lot of people actually.
Yeah, it does.
I wonder why it doesn't affect some people though.
It doesn't affect me and... I don't know. I guess, I mean, like, I think I'm sometimes, I'm just like annoyed. Like, I'm just like, guy, why is it dark? But then that's the end. Like, you grab, it's like, that's the end of it. It's not like a thing that it's like too lingering for me. And I'm trying to think of why. I don't know.
Maybe it's genetic.
Maybe, I mean, it could be genetic. But like, also, your brain like, chemistry, I'm thinking, the way your brain is works. It related to like my sleeping habits? Because also, like, jet lag doesn't affect me. Like, I never get jet lagged. Mm. And I feel like whenever I like switch time zones, like that doesn't affect me. Like in Saskatoon, which is where I went for my graduation and I'm just coming back from, it doesn't get as dark. I mean, it gets dark, but like I think much like you also notice that when we're there, it doesn't get as dark.
It doesn't get as early. Dark in winters. Yes,
exactly, as it does here. When I came back, I was just like, oh, it's dark. Oh, okay. I don't know. But I don't know if it's related to my sleeping pattern and how my body functions with that. Maybe because like my body can easily adapt to like sleep and changes. Maybe that's why. I have no idea. I have no idea. But Hadiza, does it affect you?
I mean, to be honest, I get depression. I don't want to use the word depression because I've not been officially diagnosed. But I get those depressive feelings at sporadic times throughout the year, so I can't really say it's a
one season or the other.
No, it's not one season. It's,
you haven't noticed a trend?
No, I haven't. Okay. Noticed. It's kind of random. So I mean, I noticed a trend with like, it's also really kind of links to my lifestyle as well, but those kind of things are kind of dangerous because it's cyclical, as in your lifestyle can exacerbate it and it's affects your lifestyle to prevent you from doing things that can improve on it. So it's kind of like,
it's a cycle. That,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and it's like you don't even know which one affects which.
No. Yeah. I mean, you can't, so you, it's both affects both. You just don't know. There's no start. It just kind of starts and then you're like, okay, you wait for it to go away, or you just force yourself to do things that are good for you so that you come out of it. But that might also mean sacrificing other things in the meantime. So say I'm like, okay, I'm feeling those depressive feelings. I need to force myself to do things that are good for me, but then I would end up sacrificing something that say I needed to do. Say, let's say I had something I needed to study for or something. I just won't have the capacity to do all of those things at once. I would need to sacrifice that for well-being essentially, but without well-being I can't even do those things anyways. But the guilt that comes from prioritizing self-care over the things I need to do, it's very cyclical. I can't explain it, but it comes and goes. It's not just one season basically. Yeah.
Interesting.
That makes sense. For me, I know it's definitely a seasonal thing because in summer, like, I am so in my elements, to be honest. But I think what I'm trying to do this season, like this this dark season, this winter, is try to like force myself out to do more things, like to see more people. Like last Friday, I have this thing, one of my friends, she doesn't live too far away from where I live. And we've told each other that we're going to be seeing each other every week.
Oh,
at least like once a week. So
that's on cute.
Throughout last week, I was sleeping like really, really long hours. It didn't even make sense. After work, I'd be super tired, but I wouldn't just sleep and wake up. Sometimes I would sleep like 9-10 hours, like the whole day, and I would still be tired and stuff. I guess I was really adjusting to the fact that once it's dark, my body gets tired. So when it was time to go out on Friday, I was like, I don't want to go. I'm exhausted. I'm tired, blah, 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 blah. And when I went out, I was actually tired, but it lifted my mood. Like throughout the week, because I was tired, I was like, what am I doing in my life? Why is time just going weirdly and stuff like that? And, you know, I live alone and etc. I think just forcing yourself to go out sometimes actually really helps, even when it's dark. I think that's the other thing. Like, it's dark, so you don't want to go outside. It's dark and it's cold. But now so we see Amo. I miss Nigeria sometimes.
No, honestly.
And I think that might actually be why I feel it more, because I think I grew up in a place where it was sunny all year round and not cold and dark like this. So I think it's just that adjustment. But you would think after 10 years though.
I mean, I think there's the adjustment piece, but I think there's also like the fact where it's like you just know what better is. Geograph.
Mm-hmm.
I think like because you know what it would be like if you were in Nigeria, there's like also a part of your brain where it's like, okay, but if I was in Nigeria, like I'll not be experiencing this rubbish.
Honestly.
And I feel like things like that just make me get extra angry at the Nigerian government. And even more recently, I've been getting extra angry at them because like so many, I think I've been having like a lot of nostalgic feelings and just nostalgic feelings, but also feelings like you said, like I've been missing Nigeria a lot more. And I think more so missing my parents, to be very honest. Maybe, I don't know whether it's like seeing my cousins grow up or like you know how you see stories of like siblings and how like, you know, they played with each other growing up. And then you see like, you know, stories of like how they interacted with like their parents and how they can just take their mom's clothes and like just all the stories of like people interacting with parents and also their siblings growing up. And then I realized that, bro, I left home at 15. That's crazy. And it's like, even before that, I was in boarding school from like 11. Yes, I used to go home every 2 weeks, which wasn't as bad as a lot of people. But like still, it's like, before I thought it was, oh, I was just missing, you know, the interactions that I would have had with my parents growing up. But then I'm like, I'm also missing the interactions that I would have had with my siblings as well. Because it's like, in your early teens, like, you know, late teens, there's this interesting relationship that you develop with like your siblings. And like sometimes, I mean, I feel like, you know, with my sister, I kind of have it more because she did move here like a few years after I moved here and we kind of still grew up together. So that was nice. And I really do appreciate that. But I don't know, sometimes I'm just like, I just get a little bit sad at what I feel like I missed out because of the state of the nation. And it's honestly, like, it's sad. But then I tried to obviously look at the positives and I'm like, you know what? We always move. But like, it's a bit upsetting when you see how like your life turns out because of the decisions of foolish people. And then some people are now continuously allowing their foolishness continue now. But yeah.
That was a word. That was a word.
I feel like this was not where we're supposed to go to, but this is where we are.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. But honestly, I just finished reading Purple Hibiscus again. Like,
oh,
it's
really?
The first time I've read it since secondary school. The main character's aunt lived in, what's the name? Nsukka.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I'm pronouncing that right. But yeah, they were in the university and they had this like really tight-knit family, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like just the common, I would say the common Nigerian experience kind of thing where their family was so happy. They always laughed together and et cetera. And then Nigeria happened and the university happened and then she got fired and her next thing was to go to America. And at the end, they would write to the main character and tell her, you know, they don't have as much time to laugh together anymore living in the US and stuff like that. And I was like, you know what? I know that wasn't even the main point of the book, but I've never caught that when I was in secondary school in Nigeria. Mm. But like this time I was like, oh my gosh, facts. Facts. Like, we're missing out on all these experiences of bonding and stuff. I think we can grasp at it, but I don't think we can fully ever get it back being here.
Yeah, no, I fully agree. And I think, like, I don't know if I told you, but I'm actually going to Nigeria.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Oh,
I know. Okay. That's why when you were saying you were missing your parents, I was like, okay, you're going
to. Yeah. Go. Wait, how did you know? Did I tell you? I feel like I told you, but did I tell you? Is that how you know?
Hey, Mama, we talk a lot. I don't forget things you say.
No, you know what? That's fair. Oh, that's cute. Okay, anyways.
Scream. But yeah, since we haven't recorded in a very long time, I don't think we've really had the chance to talk about world events and like what's been going on. I think that has partly affected my mood as well, because every time I open Twitter or TikTok, I'm seeing all these very gruesome images of war-torn places like Palestine, Sudan, Congo. And it's just making me question generally the meaning of life, because these, especially like children being killed. I mean, everyone being killed, but like children, like that's, it makes me question, because it's just like they didn't do anything, but their lives are being caught in the middle of what they don't even understand. And it's a shame. It's terrible. It's making me not quite understand the meaning of all of this. But I don't know if you guys have anything to say. All I wanted to say is, like, you guys should continue. How do I even address that? I don't know.
Yeah, I know that. I mean, like, you guys continue, like, you know, educating yourself and
lending your voice where you can.
Lending your voices to the oppressed, to be very honest. Like, just lending your voices to the oppressed, educating yourselves and
calling for peace.
Calling for peace and calling on your governments to do what is right.
Yeah. Today I saw this thing for people in the diaspora, like Canada, US, UK, I guess. We have a listenership in those places. But there's this website, ceasefiretoday.com. I'm going to post this in our description for the podcast. And it has different petitions that you can sign. And then also, if you're in the US, it gives like a template for messaging like your representatives and stuff like that. I think those are like things that you can, like real things, I guess, active measures that you can take. Cause I find like sometimes when you see those things, you don't know what to do. Yeah. A lot of times, honestly, I don't. But even things like boycotting, apparently people are talking
about that's boycotting. Boycotting.
Institutions or organizations that support
rubbish.
What I believe is the wrong side, but you know what? But yeah, so I've been boycotting places like Starbucks, for example.
Both of them. Yeah.
But I heard someone was saying that these Starbucks specifically, she was saying that her friend works at Starbucks and they're actually feeling the impact.
Oh, are they? Because I feel like sometimes it's like you see on social media that they are, but like social media doesn't translate to real life as much as we would like it to.
Yeah, I agree with you. But I think on TikTok I'm on TikTok a lot of my references are from there, but it's crazy. But someone was saying that there was a bus system that was boycotted and they actually like
do
it because of it and stuff. So I think if everybody was to actually decide, we can do things.
Sorry, is there like a list on social media?
Yeah,
like,
there's a list somewhere. Seriously,
I've been off or out because I did not know that Starbucks was even, do you get?
I think Starbucks, they had fired some of their employees that were speaking up about, I guess the employees that were speaking out in support of Palestine. My own
is, I don't understand these kind of behaviors. Is it happening on office ground? No. So what's your business?
They say it's not company culture. I don't understand. I don't really understand.
I mean, so most companies have a social media policy where it's like, whether or not you are tweeting on company time or whether or not, it's like they say that you are a representative of the company.
So they own
your business.
Even off my hours? I've never actually heard of this.
Have you ever read the social media policy?
I've heard of it, but
the question no, is Mama, have you ever read?
I did not even know that my company would okay, have social media policy.
I've heard of it, but I felt like it's not enforced as in, how do I say? So how do they determine what is, do you get what I'm saying? Like,
okay, yeah, yeah. No. So like that part, I agree with you. It's like, how do you determine, you know, what is right, what is wrong, blah, 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 blah. But yeah. Ultimately, like, I think that part can be debated from now on.
If they say they don't want you participating in any kind of government
No, that's not what they're saying.
Okay.
And that's why I'm saying, like, you know, what's right, what's wrong, you guys can debate it with your companies and other institutions.
But that's just so weird, because how can they say they don't want you to take a stand on political issues? That makes no sense.
No, you guys,
sense.
You're not hearing me. That's what they're not saying, that you should not take a stand on political issues. Because, for instance, when the whole, like, you know, Black Lives Matter and all those things were coming up, they were fine with a lot of people taking stances.
Okay, the ones that they support.
The ones that they exactly. It's the ones they support that they're okay with.
So they say company culture. Lawsuit, slap them.
You just have to be able to prove it.
Exactly. I feel like there's, like, it's just so many barriers. You have to be able to prove it. It's like, how much do you want to now use to hire a lawyer? Like Lai will say, how much do you want to pay a lawyer for this work now? That's just <thing. laughs> Do you actually want to pay lawyer? Because it's like, lawyers are not cheap. So it's like, there's like so many things that it's like, they know a lot of people are not going to proceed with, like, lawsuits. You're probably just going to keep it pushing, or maybe they'll just do one small payout that they're going to pay you from your salary anyways. There are so many aspects to it that they have to take to, like, cover their asses, long story short. It sucks, and it's terrible at the end of the day, but it's unfortunately the capitalistic world that's we are in.
I think you should I don't know, I don't want anyone to, like, lose their job, but I honestly think it's a principle thing, because it's just like, if I can't speak up about issues that I believe in, then who am I?
Yeah, what's the point? Yeah.
I guess they're saying, well, you can speak up on it, but you bear whatever consequences they as a company have for you.
And their labor laws, and I will sue you.
No, it's facts. Everybody's free.
Everyone, I saw this free tweet that was like, I think, oh my gosh, I can't remember how it went, but I think it was like, long story short, if there was ever a situation that came up, I will always be on the side of the oppressed. And I felt like, just like with everything that's going on right now, it just felt, even though it's common sense, it just felt so profound, because I don't know, I feel like a lot of people are like, oh, like, you know, I mean, even me sometimes, like, let me not say anything.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
And this does not at all pertain to what's going on right now. But that statement, I don't know. Wait, but if the oppressed were aggressors at some point.
Yeah.
Well, so I think what it's saying is that,
good point, Matilda,
whoever is currently being oppressed is who they will be on the side of. So, for instance, if the oppressed were aggressors, then whoever they were aggressors against would be the oppressed. Do you grab?
Okay,
if let's say me and Matilda are fighting now, and I'm the person that has more power, whatever, and I'm now oppressing Matilda, then Matilda is oppressed, and then you be on the side of Matilda. And let's say in 5 years now, Matilda now rises, and she now decides to start oppressing me, then I will become the oppressed, and in that case, they'll be on the side of me. That's the way I understood that statement, Sha.
I don't believe that stance.
That's fair, but
I don't have to, of course.
You don't have to believe it, yeah.
I don't have to, but I guess I'm asking why. Why you?
Because I think, like, so the reason why I believe it is because I think that if somebody is being oppressed, regardless of, I mean, let me not say regardless, yeah, because obviously we know my biases. I feel like if you listen to this podcast, you probably know where I stand on certain people in this life. But and I feel like, obviously, there are, like, some, like, I think there are some extreme instances where it's like, if an evil person is now being oppressed, I would absolutely unlook, and I would never bat an eye at your oppression. But I think when it comes to, like, things that are not so extreme, and things that to me maybe, like, things that are not so extreme, I think that whoever is being oppressed in the moment is who that I would typically stand for. It's who, like, I would lend a voice to, because in that moment, they are being oppressed by somebody who is the bigger evil in that point in time. And if the people that are being oppressed end up becoming the bigger evil, then I would lend my voice against them the next time. I don't know. I think, like, for me, it just makes sense because it's like, whoever is suffering is the person that needs help. And when they are not suffering, that's great for them. And if there's somebody else that's suffering, or if they make people suffer,
if it seems like they're simultaneously, this is hypothetical.
So there seems to be simultaneous.
It just seems to be a simultaneous disagreement. I don't.
Well, I mean, obviously, like, I think, like, in everything, there's, like, nuances, right? So it's like, even in this statement where it's like, I always been inside of the oppressed, it's like, if the oppression is 50-50 or whatever it is, then it's like, I think there are, like, obviously some things where maybe I'll not be like, I had to think a little bit, or I'm not sure how to stand and all those things. But I think, like, the statement is just more of a generalized statement that might not apply to every single scenario. Like I said, there are lots of evil people in this world that if they've ever been oppressed, I would absolutely unlook in, like, extreme situations. But I also think that, and I, like I said, if you listen to this podcast, you probably know who I'm talking about. But I also think that
Kiki Palmer's boyfriend.
I mean, that's not who I'm talking about.
You guys, if you've ever been oppressed in any shape or form, everybody needs to unlook like you never even. Yeah, sorry. No, I just, that needed to be said.
Yo, the way that just came out from left field, like.
I just has had it in her heart.
I know that's not what you're talking about, but I just need to put it in there, but keep it going.
Fair enough. But yeah, I mean, like, I feel like I've said the same thing like 10 times. Long story short, I believe that I would always stand on the side of the, at least, like, I would try to always stand on the side of the oppressed, because they're the ones currently facing evil right now. And when they stop facing evil, and if they ever start causing evil to another person, then I would be on the other people's side. But yeah, I feel like I've talked a lot. But yeah.
No, I just wanted to understand the statement. I just wanted to see if there was, like, more to my understanding. But I think it is what you just explained. But yeah, that's fair. Okay. So, Kiki Palmer, we could as well delve into it because it's on Hadiza's...
Wait, sorry. Before we say Kiki Palmer, I saw something that I don't want to forget. Do you guys know that you can now post on your Instagram, like, regular posts, but to close friends only?
Oh, I see. Okay.
Not story, but
not
post.
Story, like, your... Yeah, a post. That's, yes, amazing. I know. I am so happy about that. Like, my joy is full. But anyways, Kiki Palmer's
my
boyfriend.
My joy is full.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it literally, like, I don't know when it got released, but, like, I know that, like, I saw it on Instagram on Twitter today, and then I saw it on Instagram, like, right now. Somebody posted, and I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy about that. So, yeah.
Okay, I'm about to actually start posting, because I never posted.
I'm definitely going to post a lot more now, because I get, like, shy sometimes.
Same. But I feel like Instagram is so now, like, aesthetically pleasing. And has to be, like, a certain aesthetic that, like, when my Instagram doesn't have that theme, that I don't even know how to explain. It's okay. external pressures.
Pressures. But I, wait, but you
it
know
used
what?
To just be a photo app. But now everybody is trying to follow aesthetic and curate experiences. And I'm like, I beg, I tap out.
No, that's fair. But yeah, I think, me, honestly, I get shy. And I think another thing is, I mean, this sounds, I don't know, I feel like it's my sound somehow. But I think I also sometimes don't have bandwidth for the likes and
replying?
The comments. And yes, that! And I mean, like I said, it's going to sound somehow, because every time I post something, even, like, on my story, like, somebody always responds, and somebody, I like to be like,
okay, Baba, we'll stop responding then.
No, exactly. This is what I'm trying to say now. I don't think we should stop responding. It's cute, and I actually do like, and I appreciate it, like, you know, a lot sometimes. But I think, like, sometimes when it becomes a lot, it's like, it's kind of like that thing where it's like when people start calling me a lot or, like, texting me, like, doing, like, multiple text messages, like, I actually want to, like, scream. So
Mama,
I feel like,
should leave her alone.
No. Guys, don't
Mama,
leave
I
me alone.
I think you should
comment.
Actually post it. Tell them to
comment. I like my stuff. But yeah, it's just interesting. But anyways, okay, let's move towards Kiki Palmer's boyfriend. And Kiki
yes,
Palmer.
Hadiza, do you want to lead the way on this?
I don't know that I do, to be honest, but I'll just... It's just, I mean... funny enough, I just saw something about on the same light of Kiki Palmer's boyfriend. So Samsung
Samsung, the person who created Samsung, their daughter married their bodyguard, and the bodyguard cheated, was abusive, and sued her for $1 billion.
Eh?
Damn.
Wait, Anastasia, how was the bodyguard abusive and sued her?
I haven't gotten the details yet, but it's just a headline and stuff like that. But because we're recording, this will have to be another topic for another episode. But it just relates to Keke Palmer and her boyfriend, because like when ex-boyfriend, thank God for her, because when you give trash men opportunities, like, do you get trash men remain trash men?
You know what's so funny? I remember like how we had an episode, yeah, and we're talking about if you would take him back or something like that. Do you guys remember?
Take who back for what?
Yeah, you went there.
You were there. We're talking about exactly, like, if we take like keep out after his the rubbish that he did. Like the first rubbish, not the second rubbish.
Matilda said he was on the spectrum.
What?
Wait, what?
Because okay, let me tell you why. So I watched a couple podcast episodes with Keke Palmer and him. Keke Palmer has a podcast, and I was just like, I mean, maybe the guy is just like. Not like slow. I don't know, not slow person. I don't know how to explain it. But
whether he's on the spectrum or not, he's beating people.
No, okay, so okay, I'm not saying I thought it. I think it now. I'm saying I thought it then, before it came out. No, I'm not saying. Please.
But I feel like that's so random.
Hi, Kim. Yeah. We've gone around this, and we've actually not stated what happened.
Oh, sorry.
Hey guys, the topic we're about to discuss has a lot of elements of domestic violence and abuse. So if you are sensitive to those kinds of topics, or if it could trigger you, please feel free to drop off here.
We'll post a link, like a timestamp, to when we stop talking about this topic, and you can just skip to that part. Okay.
Okay, yeah, so Keke Palmer recently filed a restraining order against her ex-boyfriend, Darius Jackson, for essentially physically assaulting her during the course of their relationship. So not even just recently, like I think they've been together for about 2 years now. And apparently over the course of our relationship, he had been physically assaulting her. So she filed for a restraining order, and she actually got the restraining order as well. And she currently has full custody as well of the son with no visitation rights.
Yeah, she requested full custody, and I think it was granted to her temporarily until they actually have the court proceeding case. So that he can defend himself and stuff, so
makes sense.
But I don't know if you guys saw it, but she dropped receipts, like she dropped some pictures from her camera.
It was in what she filed, in the police report. And I'm like, that's crazy. And hey, like what I was saying was like the episode that we had where we were talking about if we would take him back based off of, you know, the stuff where like, you know, he was like, oh, she's a mother, blah, blah, blah. The one that I didn't really see an issue with, but Matilda saw an issue with.
I didn't say there was Imaba, please don't use my words.
Matilda, what did you now say?
Just say your own and leave
me. What did you say?
I said I did a second take at the Usher thing, right?
Okay.
Yeah, and I was like, well, anyways. Imaba, leave me out of this. What's the importance of what I thought? We're talking about domestic violence here. But also, I think it's a little bit different from our conversation because technically, we didn't have this information.
Yeah, we didn't know.
No. It's absolutely different. Like, it's absolutely different. I just thought, like, I just remember, like, when I saw the news, I was like, oh, like, you know, first of all, I was like, oh my gosh, I hope she's okay. Like, I can't believe that this is happening to Keke. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so insane. And then I actually just thought of the conversation that we had. And I was like, imagine this additional context, right? Like, because it's like, we were just talking, oh, will we take him back? And then I think all of us basically being like, oh, like, you know, obviously you wouldn't just want to like scatter your family.
If he's remorseful.
Exactly. If he's remorseful, if he's changed. Like, and it's just so crazy that like, you know, I feel like that's typically what you do. It's like you ascribe all these good traits to people. And like, you know, just like hoping that he is remorseful, he will do better, and you know, this was like a lapse in his judgment. And it's come and find out that this is not even a lapse in his judgment. This one is actually a very, very foolish, idiotic man, and this is actually his lifestyle.
Like, oh my god, there was one part, so there is another part, this I just saw recently, I guess a part of that police report or something, that she detailed what he had said to her, like in terms of verbal abuse. So one of his statements was, so basically she was afraid that he was going to hurt her and the kid, because he made a statement like, now I know why animals kill their children. Guys, I'll send you the screenshots.
Wow. Wait, what? I didn't even see that. That is insane.
I have been depressed since reading this thing. Like, reading, seeing the whole thing. I'm like, this is crazy. Okay?
Wow. It's so insane. And I feel like another reason why I think this Kiki thing is hitting, like, really close to home for a lot of, like, Black women and a lot of, like, Black young women is because, like, of how, like, vibrant and out there Kiki is. Like, it's, like, she always seems like she's so full of life, she's so vibrant, and it's, like, you know, she, I mean,
it's kind of in control of, like,
exactly,
everything.
Of, like, of life and of this, of whatever it is that life throws at her. And it's, like, even, like, with this whole situation, like, she seemed like she handled it really well, and then, like, you know, they probably had a proper conversation, and she went back to, like, it just kind of seemed like she was in control, like, really well. And also, like, she's like, everybody loves Kiki, long story short. So I think to see somebody that is just so visibly out there and just like kind of seems like, and like also she seemed like she loved this man a lot, so to just see somebody in what looks like all the positive places
for the most part
now kind of be experiencing something like that, it's just really, really sad. I think it's like, obviously it's always sad. And I think like, this is just like, it's just too, too sad. And I really hope that she's okay. And apparently like, he was also beating her while she was pregnant as well.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'm like, that is insane. Like, what? Gosh.
I actually think that this physical abuse and perhaps like other type of abuse is so insidious, because I don't think there's a kind of person that falls into abuse. I don't know if I'm explaining that well. I think it can happen to anyone. I think it's just being able to, once you see the signs of it, being run. Able to leave and run. Literally run.
Like, run.
Because now from clap it starts. Like, I don't even know how else to explain it, but I think that if you see those signs, you should just leave, because it usually builds on things and then you start explaining it away. And it starts becoming the norm until like, and Kiki is one of the people that literally cut it off. Some people make excuses until like, again, trigger warning, they pass away.
But the truth is, even Kiki had still endured a lot before she cut it off. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, but this is still a survival case, because we know there are women that don't make it out alive.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just glad that she has cut it off. I don't even think that she meant for all her drama to be in social media. But it's just
I don't think Kiki has ever had drama like this before.
Never. No, never. I even saw her mom talked about it, and they were like, in her whole career, her mom has never like come out.
I didn't even know what her mom looked like.
Me too.
Facts. I mean, I knew because of her podcast, but even their podcast, they talk about things that are very light, like, oh, what they did at Disney, what work they're going to be doing next, when they travel to Disneyland, when she first was in the industry, how she can copy this person. Like, Kiki Palmer is very light. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, she doesn't go into gossip. Do you get what I'm saying? Drama, any kind of stuff, right? That man, you know, is sick. Yeah. Like, hellfire.
I wonder, is there anything that friends and family can do to help people that are in like abusive situations? Because sometimes I feel like, one, it's hard to spot, but even when it's spotted, the victims usually don't let go until they do let go, or never get the chance to let go at all, you know?
No. For me, I feel like the moment I spot it, I don't know that I will let whoever is in there rest. I keep using my sister as an example. You will not rest with whoever you're dating if the person is abusive. Like, I will not let you rest. You and the person.
A lot of times, they might cut you off because of that.
Yeah.
You know, it's actually interesting. I had a conversation like this with like a couple of my friends, and I basically said what Hadiza said. Actually, this wasn't even about domestic violence. This is about like, just like you see your sibling doing something. No, don't you? You see your sibling in a situation that is not good for them, or you see your friend in a situation that's not good for them. And what do you do? Like, do you just kind of stand there supportive and being like, you know what, no matter what, I dare your back. When you're ready to go, I'm here, I'll be beside you. Or do you constantly nag them to pull them out?
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah. And it was interesting because like, I remember how I was like, man, if it's a sibling, I would literally carry you on my back and we are leaving that place. Like, I don't care. But I felt like, if it's a friend, I feel like for me, if it's a friend, you're obviously, I'll tell you multiple times I should leave. And it's like, if you don't want to leave, I might just be like, yo, whatever you choose, I am here. And just so you know, like, no matter what choice you make, I still day your back. And whenever you're ready to run, I'm there. And it was interesting because it's not even like I love one person less than the other. But I think it's just because sometimes I feel like with a sibling, I don't know, there's like almost this thing where it's like, you know that there's nothing where it's like you think your sibling is trying to harm you. With siblings, everything just as annoying, it's like you can be more authentic and more clear with them where it's like, no matter what it is you're saying, you know that this person doesn't mean you bad.
Yeah.
And it's like with friends, it's also the same, but I don't know. It's like with siblings, it's easier for you to, I actually don't know how to properly explain it, but it just kind of felt like with siblings, I might be a little bit more aggressive than with friends. And I think like it was just because, actually, no, I think I know the reason why. I think it's because your sibling can never cut you off. At least I don't think
like
so.
If they, that's what I was going to say. If they like, they should be angry at you.
Exactly,
like,
but they can never cut you off, but a friend can cut you off.
Yeah.
So I think like that was actually the main reason.
And I think another thing too is if the person is in an abusive relationship, if the person has not recognized the abuse yet, the person could tell the abuser that you are pushing them to leave the abuser, and the abuser could attack you, a third party. Are you understanding? As in, the abuser could come with a gun to your house. Like,
do you get what I'm saying? Escalated.
You're talking about somebody who is abusive. People who are abusive Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Have you guys heard my theory? I don't know if Matilda has said it, but Hadiza, actually, maybe she has said this. Have you guys heard my theory of how I feel like I cannot be kidnapped by one person?
Imama is the definition of delulu.
No, like, I'm so sorry. Like, whatever, like, I mean, maybe I'm actually very delusional and this is not me.
Hadiza said the person might come with a gun.
Okay,
it's not about carrying
you away. I mean, first of all, you're not going to come with a gun.
I think I was in a respect in the workplace training program, right? And they were talking about why workplaces in Ontario or Canada started having clauses for like workplace violence or like abuse, and abuse of employees outside of work can impact. So what happened was the abuser actually came to the woman's workplace. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they said the abuser shot the woman and shot different people and shot themselves or something. Yeah. It was something
in Canada.
Yeah, I'm telling you guys, like, if your friend or somebody around you is in an abusive situation, it is very dicey. Like, as in, I mean, there are levels to abusers, right? Mm-hmm. But for me, I would honestly assume the worst.
So are you saying you wouldn't say
anything? No. I would definitely. Mm-hmm. But then I think it's also letting them know that if they are deciding to leave, they should leave quickly, quietly, without notice. So as per, if you are in an abusive relationship, literally just disappear. Mm-hmm. Like if you're in an abusive relationship, plan without the person knowing. Mm-hmm. Have a friend that you can talk to that, you know, is ready to take you at any time, and just, you know, tell the abuser, because the truth is in abusive relationships, there are cycles, right? So there is a cycle where things are good, right? So while things are good or things might even be bad, but while things, you probably can still go to the grocery store, go do your basic stuff every day, go to work. Just say you are going to the grocery store or something like that and disappear.
Never
block and make it that nobody in your close circle can tell the person where you are, basically. And you just need to hide out. Like, I've seen, honestly, this abusive thing, is actually scary. Like, just seeing different stories and, honestly, God forbid, the worst thing that can happen to somebody.
Yeah.
the worst thing that can happen. Another person, another human being feels like they have that much control over you that they can put their hands on you. They can use verbal like assault towards you and you don't feel safe as a person. Mm-mm. That's the worst kind of situation anybody can be in. So it's just been like, just seeing the whole Kiki Palmer situation, I'm just like, there's so many people going through this. Mm-hmm. It's just sad. And I'm like, what is it about that kind of environment that brings out the abusive nature in that person? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Like, why?
Do you guess?
Let me tell you, it's a demon that's possessed them.
Because it's not like they're trying it with their coworkers. Do you get what I'm saying? Like it's just
a power play, though.
Yeah, it's definitely power play.
Power over you, and that's why they won't go and hit their work because they. It's not that it's a demon. Because if it was a demon, then why is the demon not telling them to do it at work as well?
Yeah, I mean, like honestly.
I just think that the diciness of what Hadiza has said is why like people try to advise people that once you see signs or the first time they do anything like that, you leave. Because once you get into that cycle, it's going to get harder to leave.
Yeah.
Like, when people do something that drastic once, even if they slap you and they see you stay after that, it's over for you.
You know, I can never forget when I would always tell somebody that, oh, if I'm dating somebody and their voice gets too high, if their voice passes a certain decibel, that's the end of it. I'm so serious. And then, like, I can't remember who I was talking to, but, like, they would always be like, guy, you're being so extra. Is it not just talking? Is it not just shouting?
No.
I said somebody shouting at me. What?
That means you can't regulate your emotions.
I was telling somebody about verbal assault, right? And how, imagine a scenario where somebody is verbally abusing you in a relationship, right? And the person told me, yeah, I'll just do it back to them. I said, that's
exhausting. Like, that's actually exhausting. Like, what?
She said, I don't see that as a reason to leave.
And so we'll now be having shouting war as per based on every night. I'll now be having to take a Panadol based on I'll be shouting all day. You guys be safe. You know, want to see warning signs. Like if you're not sure, tell a friend, like tell a close friend and tell somebody that you trust and just make sure that, like, you know, if you're not sure of stuff that's happening, have somebody that you trust that you're able to cross check things with. And I know there's this whole thing where people are like, oh, like, you know, don't share your relationship stuff. Keep everything that happens in the relationship to yourself. I'm sorry. I don't know that I fully believe that. I think that it's a way to... Sometimes you need another person, even if it's just one person, to just cross-check things with. And if you can't tell a friend, tell a therapist. Like, just somebody that you can at least talk to just cross-check certain things. Because sometimes your partner telling you to not tell anybody anything that's happening is a way of them to isolate you. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then take power over you. So reclaim your power. Reclaim yourselves. I believe in you guys. You got this.
No, I agree. And I just wanted to add to that, that sometimes with people who are going through abuse, any kind of abuse, even if they're telling someone, they will tend to present the information in a way that is not completely, so they won't show the true picture. So the friend might not actually be able to tell that really they are in distress. So I just wanted to add also that in addition to that, your body will tell you that you are uncomfortable with the situation. And the truth is, if you're not able to address it with your partner as well, I think you should just try as much as possible to trust your instincts and know this person does not make you feel safe. This person does not make you feel comfortable. This person does not make you happy. This person does not make you feel respected, loved, etc. And try and find your way out of the situation, because if you're going through it, you're mentally playing down whatever is happening. So sometimes, well, not everyone, but sometimes it just could be that you just trust yourself that if you feel uncomfortable with the situation, chances are there is something uncomfortable about that situation.
Yeah, I think that's a good summary to that. Okay, Lori Harvey and Damson Idris are no longer an item. Thoughts?
I don't have thoughts. The baby is doing what young babes do. I feel like we've had this discussion before. I think we have this discussion every time she breaks up with somebody.
No, I think I actually think that do. That is why it's a topic, because there's an every time.
No, but I mean, like, to be very honest, I think it's just like, she's just a lot more in the public eye than like a lot of people, and her relationship is just a lot more public. Because what you think about it,
Omo, Lori Harvey can love when she's in a relationship.
How do you know she can love? How do you know?
No, I mean in terms of social media love. Do you get what I mean?
Okay, okay,
like,
okay.
You know, there's a way that you love.
Mama's like, are you in their bedroom?
No, I'm not in their bedroom. No, all because... I mean is she can express love on social media. Okay? That's
but
all
I mean,
can
even
see.
The expression of love, to be very honest, is just posting pictures. Like, she never actually, like, she will not post a picture and write, the absolute love of my life, I cannot do without you. She will not tweet,
no,
oh my gosh, I am fainting because I have not seen Damson today.
Look, though, like,
no, I thought she would marry Damson Idris. I'm not gonna lie to you
guys. See you guys being serious. This is actually why there was outrage when she broke up with Michael.
No, but be a little bit. She can break up with whoever she wants to break up with and date whoever she wants to. That's not even my concern. And none of this is my concern to be it. But what I'm trying to say is just social media. How in love they always look. Like,
let
in
me
every
not
single
lie.
Relationship, I always think this is it for her.
I don't know. Maybe I'm different in this regard, because I think every single time I've seen her in a relationship, obviously I've thought they were cute, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you guys are quite cute. I think the Damson one is maybe the cutest I've seen, because when she was with Michael B. Jordan, I didn't see a lot of videos where she was talking. Like, I don't think I've ever really heard the baby's voice like that. And I didn't really see a lot of videos when she was talking. But when she was with Damson, I did see some videos where she was trying to speak Yoruba and, like, you know, she was talking here and there. And I actually thought that was the most she had given us in a relationship. And I thought that was cute. Scream. But, like, to be very honest, apart from, like, those videos where they were talking, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is cute. When it came to just her posting up pictures and all those things, I always thought these are just relationship pictures. Like, I never really thought, oh my gosh, this baby is so in love based off of the pictures. Because I'm like,
Even when I think about all these relationship Instagram and et cetera, when they break up, it's still a topic that people talk about. Because if you put it in our faces.
I mean, that's fair. But I think...
I've been in a relationship for like a while now. There's not one single post.
No, but see, that's fair. But that's because you're not an Instagram, you're the colleagues.
There are some people that are Instagram people that also don't post their relationship for the same reason. Because it starts becoming other people's... Like, other people are, like, invested in the story you are telling.
So, I mean, I get that. And to be very honest, I don't think that... Like, I mean, me, I don't have an issue talking about their, like, I don't have an issue with us talking about, or other people talking about, like, you know, their relationship, because, like you said, it is in our face. So it's just, long story short, like, unfortunately, it's just. So, like, I get that. Like, my whole thing is not that we should not talk about it. Of course, we'll talk about it. That's fair. I want to talk about it. All I'm saying is that I think the way everybody is saying that, oh my gosh, they thought they were so in love, is what is shocking me. Because
but
I'm like,
they,
I never
think they were so in
no,
love.
No, I felt like
even
I mean,
with
like,
the Yoruba.
Like, I thought so. I, like I said, I felt like that was probably like, that was,
you.
Was,
I,
no,
I like how was actually was like my wife.
Oh so yeah. I think, like, okay, no. Him say my wife, because I'm like, he's a Yoruba boy. I'm so sorry. How many Yoruba boys have said my wife in this life?
But how many Yoruba boys have been with Lori Harvey? I'm sorry.
No, but I don't know. I feel like, to be very honest, I think, like I said, the videos were maybe the one part where I was like, okay, this is actually extra cute. I have not seen this babe do this before. But other than that, I just thought they were in love. Yeah, like, they liked each other. But I wasn't like, oh my gosh, this is it for Lori. This is it for Damson. Oh, they are so in love. Because I just thought that this is just why in a relationship, we're a public figure and we like to post each other's, like, I would like okay. to post each other a couple. That's the way me, I saw it, Sha.
Okay, so you think it looked like every other relationship?
To me, it did. To be very, very honest. I just thought that they were... I thought that they were dating and they were cute.
Yeah, that's where we differ. Because I think there are so many stars and public figures that are in relationships and they post their people once in a while.
But Lori, have you posted everybody that she's with?
But then that's what I'm saying. How she posts everyone.
She's everybody, like, she's that in love with
everybody.
Okay,
but now we now understand from this pattern. No. She fools me. That's what I'm trying to say. She fools me every time.
What are you looking at? They say you're a bad man. Because how they fooling you this easy, God?
I'm sorry, they got me.
You cannot be on the Lagos streets. God saved you.
They got me. I will lie. They looked really good together and like really cute.
I mean, no, like they were definitely really cute for sure. And I think if they ended up together, it would have been really cute. But like, I don't think I was ever like, this is the end for her. I was like, if this is the end, that's cute. But so I was just like, what would
make you feel like this is the end for her? Like, when is it like
for Laurie?
When she's actually married, Shibi.
When she's married, when? Because even when she was engaged, did she and the man not break up?
Was she engaged?
Yeah, she got engaged to Memphis Depay.
Eh, who's that?
He's a footballer. He's like a
footballer.
Eh, I mean, I didn't know this. So.
Yeah.
In this same vein, even after she's married, wouldn't he also be, we don't know.
Well, I don't know at that point in time, but then again, to be honest, I don't know that I would be thinking. I also don't think I would be thinking, oh, is Lovie having really love with her husband? Like, that would not be a thing that would be on my mind.
You'd be like, okay, yeah,
she's married,
she's
like,
married, okay, yeah.
She's married,
and that's on that. In summary, mind your business. Because
I mean, but to be honest, you know me, I love Amebo, but I think my level of Amebo stops somewhere.
Levels.
Levels. It stops somewhere where I'm like, okay,
Marisa view zone is too low for me, I beg.
not even that it's too low. It's just, it's like I would never know. Unless I'm a best friend, I genuinely would never know. So it's just like, if I can never be sure, then let me rest.
I think my own Amebo levels is wanting to know why she breaks up with these people. I just really want to know, because they said they are remaining friends.
Yeah, they did say that.
The way that she loves so publicly is what has spawned the rumors that she does contracts.
Lord, actually, that's true. They said one-year contract. But how long was she with Damson? I feel like it was more than a year.
It was 1 year.
Are you guys serious? Was it actually
was
1 year?
Was it exactly 1 year?
No, not exactly.
Oh, okay. I'll
yeah, but it can't be exactly 1 year. If not, it will look fishy.
Plus
now.
Or minus.
That's actually insane. That's so funny.
I think she was with Michael B. Jordan for a bit longer than
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think
wasn't
she was
it
with
like
him
2 years
longer.
Or something?
I think it was even maybe Michael that I even thought, you know, maybe this might be it.
Michael was heartbroken. Oh.
Yeah, and
maybe
it was
Michael paid
was...
more.
I'm sure.
Atina, please.
Michael, I'm sure he was, he looks disappointed. He looked depressed. Whoa. Steve Harvey would have called him personally to say, I'm so sorry.
Now, Hadiza, you're just crazy.
Please, this is not true. I'm just.
But if in theory, it's actually a contract, remember that Michael B. Jordan is an actor.
But wait, a contract for who? So who would this be benefit? Like, who would this be benefiting?
So both of them are actors. No, Damson Idris is an actor.
They're all actors and stuff. Damson Idris was already popular, given. But in terms of like people being invested in his social media presence and stuff, like,
oh, like their personal, oh,
like a brand.
I'm getting you. So people were interested in their acting brand, but not their personal
brand, exactly. So they, for example, Michael B. Jordan, before he dated Lori Harvey, I didn't know that much about him, TBH.
But then did you know that much about Lori Harvey though before they dated?
She is affiliated with Steve Harvey and she has a social media presence.
Yeah, but even then, like, I mean, they weren't, like, both of them individually weren't in the limelight like that. Do you get what I'm saying? Individually.
Think about her prices might have been lower back then. And then as she builds up...
Oh, wait, Matilda, you're losing me. I thought this was to help Michael B. So you're saying that this was also to help Lori. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying she has a business, right? But when you start a business initially and you don't have as much clout, you haven't done as many things. Hey. Your price
also,
is lower.
Sorry, to confirm, her right? business is this contract.
Selling relationship.
Okay, you can proceed now. I'll just try to confirm.
Selling the relationship brand to popularize you to consumers. Exactly. Okay. So maybe back then when she didn't
like
have
you
as
I,
much
because
what
clearly we're talking about it. So
see, I mean, we're talking about it and people are talking about it. So
sorry, continue.
I'm just saying, maybe back then when she didn't have as much clout as she does right now, she wasn't charging that much. But I remember when Lori Harvey initially got together with Damson, a lot of people didn't believe their relationship because they didn't feel like that was the kind of guy that she
that she typically goes for.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they started making all these thirst trap things for Damson.
Actually,
she upped his game because she's like a socialite and she's known to date very hot men, so she adds a certain level of clout to you. And with this, I hope I've been able to convince and not convince.
Nah, this is the business.
I think
we would have to wait to hear from the horse's mouth. The horse in this case being Mrs. Lori. I don't know if she would call me Mrs. But Miss Lori Harvey.
Damson.
I don't know. Nah. Why would Damson tell us?
Mrs. Lori Harvey that would tell us. Includes an NDA because she has dated all these people and nobody has actually come out with. No one has.
Please, how do I sign up for this business? Because I too would like to date Damson and Michael B. Jordan.
okay. So about the influencer dollars.
Please, I need to become a socialite. I need help.
If you guys are,
so you say I don't have clout. Actually, I probably don't. But me, I want to post on my close friends only. Exactly. I have clout.
You are not ready.
But you know what? I actually would go on this. I have to go and understand how to get to this clout. Mm-hmm. So that I too can date Michael
First
B.
of
Jordan.
All, be the stepdaughter of
Steve Harvey.
An already popular person. Yeah.
That gives relationship advice.
So I need to call my mother to see if she's looking to remarry.
Can you even imagine?
Oh, crazy. Daddy,
sorry.
That's an angle.
You said that's an angle.
But then God forbid though, because the actual dad is in prison.
Huh?
I mean, but they didn't like the dad though. He was
a dead. And they also didn't like the dad, yeah.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter.
I actually did not know all of this. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we've been talking for a bit, so I think we should just go on to our question of the week.
Okay.
Are you guys ready? This one is, I don't know if it's longer, but okay. Hello, guys. I'm writing this to get advice because I've been to therapy about it and my therapist never seemed to give me solutions to the problem. I'm a Nigerian international student living in the UK, and after COVID happened, my parents' marriage seemingly took a turn for the worst, at least according to my mom. Hmm. It started with her telling me how horrible my dad has been, here and there, but now she tells me pretty intimate details about their relationship issues almost every week, like how she has seen texts between him and his side chicks, how he tells her she can never become anything in life, etc. Damn.
Wait, Matilda, sorry, why did you start laughing?
No, at the side chicks.
Oh, okay. Because that was so random. Like, I was like, wait, what?
No, okay. No, it was the side chicks. Like, it caught me like off guard.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it started with her telling me horrible about my dad has been here and there, but now she tells me pretty intimate details about their relationship issues almost every week, like how she has seen texts between him and his side chicks and how he tells her she can never become anything in life, etc. Mm-hmm. It has become so bad that sometimes when she calls, I don't want to pick up the phone in fear that she's going to offload on me. What's worse is that my dad has never once brought these issues to me, and she always tells me not to confront him. My Oyinbo therapists have not been able to understand the Nigerian family dynamics, so please help.
No, me, I'll say, is that the end of the scenario?
Yeah, I think that's the end.
Okay, I'm going to tell my mom that I'm going to tell him, and if she doesn't want me to tell him, then she should stop involving me.
Would you actually, tell her that straight up?
Yeah, because it's actually disturbing me. I'm not joking. I just don't like that kind of dynamic where parents bring in the children into their disputes, wanting them to pick one side or the other. Madam, like ma'am.
Do you actually think that I don't know. This topic is interesting, to be honestly. But do you think that they are trying to make them pick one side, or do you think, because Nigerian,
Of course it's not.
I think they don't have anyone to vent to.
Yeah, but that's what you're doing.
I'm just assuming because the person never actually said if they're a girl or a guy, but I honestly doubt that this is a guy. I don't know, but I feel like Nigerian mothers sometimes offload on their daughters, especially when they're old enough. She's in university, so like...
Yeah, you're disturbing my studies. I'm not even... Like, I'm actually being for real. Like, I get that you're going through distress, right? So you are calling me talk about this thing. First of all, you shouldn't be calling me talk about this thing because...
That is bam. Because I was watching this. Sorry, I think I'm interrupting you.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was on TikTok this week. Oh God, this is literally how all my stories start. It's becoming a problem. But I was on TikTok and this white man was talking about how when his child comes home from school, he always asks him how his day was and has him talk to him about any one of his problems. But never once does he offload on his child because he does not believe that that's how parent-children dynamics should be.
Agreed.
You are the parents. And like, I don't think that dynamic is right. But also in an African home, I feel like it's just a little different. Because I can't even imagine saying to my mom, please stop.
Because it's actually distressing me. This is distressing me. Like, do you want me to be distressed? Do you get what I'm saying? Like, no. Like, I think in any home, whether African or any kind of home, like, it's okay if you're telling me, Aspa, you know, I went through this in my life for... Okay, once in like maybe 3 months, you tell me the story, or once in 5 months. Okay, cool. Not every week. I will actually tell you, first of all, I will tell you to stop. Like, I do not want to. Like, and I've told people before, people in African households know you want to take advantage of the fact that this person is, like, not consciously, but you know this person is younger than you and you have the power. So you just want to be able to... I've told adults, like, or adults in my life that I don't want to participate in the conversation that they're about to have with me. Like, because I just don't. Because for me,
that's actually
pretty
cool that you can do that.
Because I've been in situations where I have, and those things don't end. They get worse, and it really will affect you. For me, it affected me severely eventually. So now I just don't even tolerate it. Like, anybody, it doesn't matter which
How
side you're
they
coming
take
from.
It? I wonder.
The first person I told,
he was like, okay, he actually said, and I was like, you have a problem, because he actually said, haha, I understand, good child, or something like that. Like,
good child. Aspar,
do you get what I'm saying? And I'm like, okay, so you knew what you're about to do was wrong. Like, do not do that. Do you get what I'm saying? The other person, I was like, I don't want to talk about this. I do not want to talk about this. I do not want to talk about this. I mean, they went ahead to talk about it anyways, but then I was just like, the next time they try, I'm just going to say, I do not want to talk about this thing. Let's talk about something else, or let's talk about this thing.
But do you think it was easier because they know your parents?
Even with my parents, I will tell them I don't want to talk about this thing. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, I will tell them if I don't want to talk about it, I'll tell them I don't want to talk about it, because what matters to me is my own mental health. They should find their own friends to talk about the things with. Do not tell me, because there's an imbalance in you telling me. If you're telling me, I'm going to take the approach like, okay, you're telling a friend, I'm going to meet the other person. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You do not want me to do that, so do not tell me.
It's true, there's like a power play there. I never even thought about
that. And you know, like, I mean, you probably are not doing it to be
insidious. I don't think Nigerian adults know. That's the thing. I think you say they know. Maybe they know.
Subconsciously.
I think maybe that's it. Subconsciously. But I think because of the fact that I don't think they know it's at the front of their mind, I don't know that they're doing
this
maliciously.
Yeah, I also think so. I don't think that they know. I think they know subconsciously, but I think kind of like what Matilda said, where it's like they don't have people to talk to, because like Nigerian mothers have this whole thing where it's like, let's keep our shame in the house. Let's not like, you know, let's not expose our yash outside.
Okay, so let's make it a group call. It will be me. All right. I have several siblings, right? When I'm done listening, I'll tune off. Somebody else can tune on.
No, you
on
know what? It's so funny, because I actually think that that is the way it should be. I do think it should be a thing where it's like, not one person has to like shoulder all of this. Let's just genuinely make it a good
call.
But I think it's just, it's Like, it's just harder to do that way. But I think it's interesting that, like, that was your initial approach. I think for me, that definitely would not be my initial approach.
It's not. So the thing is, I have done the listening thing, and I've done it so for so long that
it's affected you.
I just, like, there's nothing in me. If I'm listening to you, it's because I actually wanted to listen to you now. If I listen to you, it's because I actually, maybe there's something there.
Hey, I need to learn.
But trust me, by God's grace, you don't want to learn, because it means that you don't want to be put in a situation where you're forced to listen to things that really and truly is not your business, to be honest, or you shouldn't be privy to certain things. So for me, I've been there excessively so to the point that I'm sick. I literally can't even. And even, it's not just family, even, I wouldn't say friends, but family, friends, people that are in that kind of space where they feel like, okay, this is somebody that I can trust and I can offload to some extent. That they're there are certain levels to it. I'll just say, okay, it has gotten to that level where I do not want to talk about this thing with you. I'm so sorry. I just don't want to talk about this thing with you. Mm-hmm. I hope you get help. I'm praying for you, or I hope...
I am praying for you.
I hope this thing is sorted out and stuff like that. But this is not how I would like to provide help to you, basically, because it's going to affect me. So
honestly, I love it. Choose yourself.
Yeah.
I'm reading it over and over again to try to, like... Because she said before, so it makes it seem like it's something that has been going on for like a while. So I think even with your friends, there's something about hearing the same issues over and over again that now makes it go from confiding in you to just offloading.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the word that she used. Yeah. Again, she or he, sorry. But
it does seem like a she.
Yeah. I don't know. Do Nigerian mothers rant to their... men, kids. Yeah.
I think the son will call the father, to be honest. Maybe not all the time, but I would imagine that might be the reaction. Like, okay, I'm calling daddy.
Do you think the son would have enabled? I almost think this is enabling, because the reason that she has gone so far that is now every week must be because you are like lending her so much of an air. Like, I almost, and this is a generalization, I don't think men would
actually
have enabled it for this long.
Like, I've heard.
Yeah. No, actually, yes. I think like women are like, we're too understanding. We're too understanding. Like, even when it comes to relationships, when it comes to, and I mean, even this is a relationship with your mom. I think we're actually too understanding, such that, like you said, we've done it for such a long time that it just keeps on going and going and going. Yeah.
So, but you haven't actually, Imama, you haven't actually said your own advice.
I think kind of what Hadiza said. I think in this case, boundaries are actually important. Hard. Very, very, very hard. But I think they're quite important, because I do think that it's clearly giving you heartache. And if she's not going to let you talk to your dad about it, I do think that it's a thing where it's like...
people keep saying talk to your dad, but like...
I mean, I also don't know that
power imbalance now, remember?
Yeah, I also don't know that you can't talk to your dad about it. I don't know. It's weird. It's hard. This one is actually one of the ones where I'm just not sure. I think this might just be a case where it's like... I do think that you should set boundaries with her. You should be like, see, mommy, I love you, but... I can't talk about this every time. Just tell her that it's affecting you. Like, talking about this every time and not being able to do anything about it. I feel like that should actually be the phrasing, because it's like, you clearly can't do anything about it, and it's just constantly talking about it. So I think, just like, I know that talking about it, not being able to do anything about it, is affecting you, and that you genuinely just, you don't want to talk about this anymore, or like, you want to reduce the amount of times I talk about it, because you just feel like it's just too much on you. Personally, I feel like that's the way it should be approached. Because I think like, it's just not fair to you for you to constantly be put in that position.
Yeah.
And I know it's probably...
tell me why
I'm feeling
bad for the mom, as you guys are saying.
Oh, I feel terrible. I don't know. It's hard. It's so hard. Because I think, like, I also feel terrible for the mom. Exactly, because they'll be alone. But I think it's also one of those things where it's like...
how did they do it before you were involved, though?
Yeah, that part too. And it's almost like, maybe ask your mom to talk to her friends about it as well.
Sorry.
To be very... No, exactly. Yeah. Or ask her if she needs a therapist. Because I also think that that's important, right? she's offloading on you, and it's like you also feel terrible telling her, oh, you don't talk to her about it, but because you also don't want her to be by herself. But at the end of the day, you now don't want to destroy your mental health because you don't want her to be by herself. And also, how do you know that she can't handle it by herself? We're just assuming that she'll actually be miserable. We don't know that she'll actually be miserable. Maybe she might actually be okay. There's also that aspect of, let's not assume that this would absolutely ruin her if we say that she should be by herself. Maybe she'll actually be okay. And and so, like, maybe like, you know, she just needs to talk to somebody like a therapist about it.
Yeah, that was going to be my advice as well. I think in relation to everything you guys have said, definitely tell her that it's too much so that she knows, because she can have a therapist and still be offloading on you, of course. But I think
she's got a lot to say. Sorry, because, this is not funny actually, because women are going to distress, but okay.
Truly. But I honestly think that if you're able to tell her that and then tell her to get a therapist, because that's what therapists are meant to be for, they don't have a stake in it. I think the reason that she's tired of it is because she has a stake in it now. It's her father that she's talking about too. Like, she's not a neutral party. The girl is not a neutral party. So it will be better. But yeah, that's my advice. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I agree. You guys should listen to Mama and Matilda. Don't do what I say.
No,
because mine is pretty much like, okay, what are you doing? Like, can you stop?
No, please? But to be very honest, though, I actually think that, like, I think that's a very bold approach. And I think that's also a good approach as well. I think it's just because, obviously, being Nigerian and the way our respect culture and all those things makes it a bit harder to, like, you know, be like, guy, what are you doing? But really and truly, guy, what are you doing?
Yeah, like, I mean, it's not fair. Like, seriously.
Yeah, and I think it's also necessary, because even when Hadiza was very blunt, the person still continued to say what they wanted to say. Imagine taking a nice approach. Like, would they actually listen to you?
I don't know. These things are always interesting, Sha, because I think there's also the aspect of, like, you know, there's a point in your relationship with your parents where you guys kind of, I mean, it's like they're still parents, but also it now becomes more of a friendship, right? Like, especially as you get older. It's like, yes, there's still the, I mean, I don't know. About, I don't know if this is way for everybody, Sha, but I feel like there's a point in, like, most children adults' lives, you know, it's like they're still your parents, but there's also, like, an aspect where it's like you guys are a little bit more friends as well. It's a bit dicey because it's like, okay, what if it's just like your friend trying to tell you what's going on in their life? But then it's like, also, you're also my parent. Should you be telling me? I don't know. It's interesting. It's weird. I don't know. But
that's why I think that even if we compare this to a friendship, it still wouldn't be appropriate. Because it's repetitive. It is offloading. If a friend was doing this as well, I would also, and because there isn't that parent-daughter or parent-son dynamic, I would be able to tell you easier. But that parent dynamic exists whether you're friends or not. So that's why it's hard for this person to actually tell them, I think. So I think even if it was a friend, it still wouldn't be all right.
Fair enough.
Yeah. And somebody has done that thing to me too. I was always complaining about my weight. I'm saying, oh, I'm bigger. I'm tired of being bigger. Sometimes I get so tired. And then the person was like, every time you say this thing, I give you advice, you don't take it.
I'm screaming. I'm actually crying. What? It's
like, you don't take it. But at this point now, you are just offloading. And honestly, it was painful. But then I actually heard it and I was like, you know what? Fair points. I would not want someone coming to me all the time complaining about the same thing. Especially when it feels like there's something they can do about it.
Right.
Even if there's nothing they can do about it, there's still a level to which you can take hearing the same complaint over and over. It sucks, but it's true. But yeah. Wow. Okay, guys. This one was definitely not as funny as the ones we usually get.
Upbeat.
But I think nice conversation, pertinent to being a child of an African parent. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode. Fun fact, if you're listening on Spotify, you can scroll to the bottom. just scroll down, like tap into the episode, scroll down, and there's a Q&A where it says, what did you think about this episode? And you can let us know what you think about all the topics we covered, but also the dilemma. Do you have advice for this person? Also, be sure to follow us at Africalypso Pod on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. And then, yeah, also you can let us know there too if you're not listening on Spotify. We want to hear you guys. We want to build a community. And yeah, we will actually be back in 2 weeks this time. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye. Have a wonderful week.